Turnout in the Garage. I'm Corey Cope.
I'm Freddie Wolf.
It's Kickstart for you for maybe the 13th.
Maybe the 13th.
Maybe the 13th. So we're in the midst. We are knee deep in all that is maybe, maybe this.
All that may be.
Yeah. So we're actually going to be recording another episode. This is wrapped up with this. Bit of fun. Last week we dropped, I got to make sure I get this one right since we're a little bit ahead. You said it.
Oh, I just blew it. You can be, that's a bleep for sure. I was talking to you, not to everybody else.
I know, but I meant to, like, when we were doing the episode, I had the idea, well, Joey did. I showed Joey the opening scene of the movie you just mentioned, just so I could avoid another beep. And she's like, oh, Billy. And then Joey just goes, oh, Billy. So he did the cable guy bit. And I'm like, shit. And I meant to put it in the episode just as a goof, but anyway, no. So yeah, we've done maybe Raiders and maybe Jaws. And that was what we dropped last week. So if you know what those are and you have them on your phone, watch them and listen to them.
Well, we've already dropped, so everybody already knows. You don't have to beep shit.
I know, but no, but you still, if you haven't heard the episode yet, you still
just... Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Beep. You can beep it twice because I just said it again.
This is what this is when our clever idea of doing that kind of bites us in the butt.
Well,
we just have to keep remembering that we did that. So
yeah, and we'll say anything.
Or don't say anything. Hey, we're not going to talk anymore. We're done talking. Hey, so tomorrow is May 14th, and there are some new titles coming. Now, I didn't realize the 35th anniversary of Killer Clowns from Outer Space was right around the corner. It's going to be on May 28th.
You know, you want to know something else about Killer Clowns from Outer? I've never seen it.
Really?
Nope.
35th anniversary is happening, so they have a 4K release, and I think they have a steelbook coming from Shout as well. Looks pretty cool. I actually really love the movie, and I was talking to the Chiodo brothers when I was at the book signing for Into the Darkness, Heather Wixon and Patrick Bromley's book, and they were... And all three of them were so cool. They were really excited because the video game's coming out on June 4th. So they're just missing their own anniversary. I'm sure they were trying to get it around there. But they also probably don't want to cannibalize their May 14th release by having something so close to it. But I'm excited for it for both of those. There is one other title, and then you can kind of float in and say, just give us your choices. There's two movies that are coming. They're dad movies. And one of them, ironically, I ran into when I was going through my mom's stuff. I came across a DVD for it, for Friendly Persuasion. That movie is coming from Warner Archive on the Blu-ray side. But this was just a standard DVD of my dad's that I found. And I can't tell you how much I love that movie growing up. I couldn't explain it. Maybe it was the goose and the kid thing. And, you know, young Anthony Perkins in 1956. It was pretty great, man. I liked that movie a lot. But the other movie is Once Upon a Time in the West. And I've been looking forward to this for a bit. This is a 4K release. Unfortunately, from the reviews that I've seen from advanced reviewers, is that it's not very good. The transfer is pretty terrible.
That sucks.
Yeah. It's a mammoth movie. I tried to avoid talking about it when we were talking about last week, because I was worried, but I was going to step on and mention one of the people that are in it because they're in last week's movie episode, and I was trying to avoid mentioning it so I wouldn't inadvertently say something and forget to edit it out. But it's a great movie. I fucking love it. It's just, I'm super bummed, and I'm just going to be happy with the Blu-ray that I got. I'm not going to upgrade. When you redo a movie like that and you get less than 4 stars out of 5 on it, then you have to be real concerned. Like, what did you guys do wrong? And it's bizarre because, well, I shouldn't say bizarre, because Paramount has not been perfect when it comes to the record of the proper, what's what I'm looking for, attention given to something. Remember when those Sapphire series, Braveheart and... Saving Private Ryan's came out. Not that you bought them, but there was a big deal about them because they were so shitty. They weren't good transfers at all. Their aspect ratios were off, colors were off, and that was 10 years ago.
Good God.
But most of the stuff they've been releasing, you know, because we've been championing, they're the only studio that we've been really championing. All the boutiques were always like up, you know, up in arms with an Excited Four and propping up. But Paramount's been pretty good with their releases as far as what they're putting on them, their consistency. But this is one was really surprising because it is such a major release from a time where they made movies very differently. It's a bummer, but maybe they'll fix it. Who knows? But there's a whole handful of stuff coming out this month, this Tuesday as well. Lots of stuff, like lots of stuff. Now, I was surprised that movie Imaginary, you know, the Imaginary Friends movie that came out from Lionsgate came out.
Harvey? A little short.
Yeah, it's already out. It's already out on Blu-ray this week.
Yeah, not really shocked though. I mean, no. It wasn't I didn't think it was theatrical anyway, right?
I thought it was, but the way it was being promoted was anytime you saw some Blumhouse movie was in front of it, so it made it seem like it was going to be going to theater.
I've only seen that trailer, like, I think on Prime, maybe? I don't know, it pops up all the time, and it's, you know, and immediately I was like, oh, they remade Harvey? Isn't that what it is? I mean, it's Ryan Reynolds and
that's different.
Oh,
this is Imaginary, like a horror movie Imaginary.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Don't know anything about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like, this one's more along the lines of like Drop Dead Fred, but like a horror version of that.
Isn't Drop Dead Fred a horror movie?
Depends on how you look at it.
I mean, you know,
come on, Phoebe Cates in it. It's never a horror movie.
Yeah. If they're all horror movies with Phoebe Cates.
Wait, you just talking about a spelling thing here?
I'm saying H-O-H-O-R-R-O-R. Yeah, man. Like horror. I just look at everything as like Gremlins.
Yeah.
Gremlins not a horror film? Come on.
It is. Dude, I love Gremlins 2 so much. When I was talking to people about...
I like Gremlins 2 probably more than Gremlins.
And what I like about it is it's so so uniquely different than the first movie.
Yeah. It's almost like its own thing.
Yeah, it's probably the closest thing that my dad's not real big on making comparisons. He wasn't anyway, making comparisons to other movies or things or recognizing where an inspiration came from something. And I did mention when we were talking about the Twilight Zone, the movie, how much his Joe Dante episode of the section of the movie is his favorite. My dad sees Gremlins 2 and he goes, it's like the guy, because he never remembers director's names, at least not contemporary at that time. He says, it's like that guy like took what he did in the other movie and said, you know what? I'm going to make a live action Looney Tunes. And I'm like, yeah, that's a fair statement because that's what he did. And there is, I think one of my favorite moments in Gremlins 2 is when Phoebe Cates starts to do one of her monologues. Shut up, Kate. We don't have time. It's so funny.
Isn't that it? Right? It's the 4th of July this time because it was Christmas the first time. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So they just shut her down right away.
Yeah.
And she just stands there like staring like psychotically as he push in on her. Oh my God. So great. So funny. That movie's a blast. But, and then ironically, of course, he does a live action Looney Tunes movie later. So look at that.
Yeah. The irony. Send Joe an email and ask him how ironic. Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
is that life imitating art or art imitating life?
Or both. It's a mixture.
Gremlins 2, dude. Gremlins 2 is like the Dr. Strangelove of Gremlins movies.
Yes. It's so funny how you don't think two movies are anything alike and then all of a sudden you're like, tonally speaking, they're the same. They're very similar. Anyway, so Jude, what's going on? What's going on with you? What did you do this last week?
What did I do this last week? I didn't do shit, man. What did I do this last week? God, I don't know what went by so quickly.
I don't remember.
I feel like I spent this whole week working, but not working. You know, answering a bunch of questions and, you know, trying to make my deal for this little project I got to run off to New Jersey to do.
What?
Yeah, man. In a week, I'll be in New Jersey.
And so now we can, I wasn't sure if we were going to talk about it because we didn't really talk about it. If we're going to talk about it, but.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not saying what it is or what I'm doing.
We're not going to get into the details of it, but it's the reason why we're banking episodes right now. Trying to get ahead of that game because we don't know how busy you're going to be when you get there.
Oh, I'm going to be busy.
Well, I know that. I'm just saying that that kind of busy. We might be floating out Kickstarter only if it gets too nasty or at all. We're doing our cell phone call-ins with you.
So I'm, I'll be in New Jersey for 6 weeks. 6 weeks in New Jersey in June. May and June. It's going to be warm, humid.
I would say so.
Yeah, well, you know, but it's okay, man. I like humidity. It doesn't bother me.
New Jersey.
New Jersey. Sweet. Jesus Christ, where did that just go to? What just happened here?
You breaking stuff?
No, but the internet just fucking broke. Maybe Beyonce dropped a record, as they say.
Yeah.
Or not.
Or not.
I mean, here's the thing. I wouldn't know if Beyonce dropped a record unless somebody forced me to watch a commercial telling me that Beyonce was dropping a record.
There's just... Well, because she's one of those artists that is constantly being discussed. So you could never look at social media as a reasoning or her being discussed or trending as if something new has happened.
Yeah.
And also, who gives a fuck?
Exactly. So as far as I get some new releases. They're just coming releases because I'm probably, in case I forget, because I'm going to be so fucking
never do that.
Busy. But hey, if you want to cry, if you want a movie to make you bawl like a baby, Arthur the King is being released on Blu-ray. If you know what Arthur the King is, then you've already cried, most likely. Yeah, so that's being released on Blu-ray on the 28th. A couple other crazy things that look like this looks like it could be fun. It's called Death Machine with Brad Dourif. and I don't know anybody else in the movie, but that is coming out as well on the 28th. And then we get into a couple of Veronica Lake movies, you know, so if you want to scratch that Veronica Lake itch like I do, The Hour Before Dawn is finally being released. First time. I think I mentioned Saigon with her and Alan Ladd before.
Yeah, hold on a second, though. Well, you're saying scratch your itch for somebody hot like Veronica Lake. What are you implying?
I'm just saying, scratch your itch, dude. I like Veronica Lake.
I know, I do too. That's kind of my point.
Yeah, well,
I might take it as you will. Okay. Or it's just assumed.
Or just assume.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, maybe she's not everybody's cup of tea. I don't know how
that's possible, but okay.
I don't either, but, you know, she did have a massive, like, career nosedive after, like, 1950, so who knows? Somebody stopped liking her. Then there's also, this movie Imaginary looks fucking amazingly awful. Doesn't it? But I kind of want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know anything about it, but it looks like everything that Blumhouse makes. But the cover is sick, dude. That sad little teddy bear sitting on the front. I don't know anything about it, but I'm going to check that out for sure. And we had mentioned Fletch and Fletch Lives. They both were released last week.
Right.
So there are those. What else we got? I think there's a 4K. Vestron did a steelbook. Oh, it's just a steelbook, but of The Gate, 1987's The Gate.
Yeah.
Starring a very young, what's his face? What's that guy's name? that guy from Blade that's not Wesley Snipes.
I was going to like just like at least, I'm like, are we going to get to it? Stephen Dorff, you mean?
Yeah, Stephen Dorff. I was going to say Dorff on golf, and I was drawing a blank, but I got half of it right. Stephen Dorff on golf.
Yes.
Dude, where is that Stephen Dorff on golf I was promised? I haven't seen that yet. I would love that.
Sometimes you make a joke so good that you might as well just follow through on it.
Right. I mean, there you go.
Yeah.
Dude, the Island of Dr. Moreau, the original Island of Dr. Moreau is being released on the 21st on Blu-ray, I think for the first time.
Yeah.
Which is pretty slick because nobody who ever would thought of that thing was ever going to come out. Another thing I'm pretty excited about is Night Falls on Manhattan, the Sidney Lumet film with Andy Garcia, Richard Dreyfuss, and Lena Olin from like 95 is getting a Blu-ray release, which, you know, how did that happen? I have no idea, but here it is. Dude, and then we talked about MVD, we talked about Joysticks last week, but also Sabotage is being released by MVD. And, you know, if you haven't seen Sabotage, it is exactly what you would expect from MVD. Tibor Takacs directed it. I just remember seeing it, but it's got Mark Descazos, Tony Todd, Carrie Ann Moss was in it. But this came out like a couple years before The Matrix. I think it was one of those, you know, it's a straight to video 2020, you know, Friday night special that's getting a Blu-ray release on MVD Rewind. So, yeah, man, lots of good weird titles coming out this month.
Yeah,
some are already available, and some, you know, are floating through in the next few weeks. I think Criterion's dropping Girl Fight.
Yeah,
if I'm not wrong. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, there you go. Lots of weird things. Pursued with Robert Mitchum. It's another one you can pre-order. It comes out on the 28th. Jessica Wright, Robert Mitchum. Dude, how many movies did Robert Mitchum make? Because, I mean, Jesus, dude. If you go back, there's so many movies before he was a big star, like in the 40s, that have Robert Mitchum in them, even if he's just in it for like 10 minutes. I mean, that dude was like everywhere. I guess that must have been before he went to the chain gang for smoking weed in the late 40s.
So he had 132 acting roles.
Yeah, there you go. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Quite a bit. But yeah, Pursued, Blu-ray. Man, that, you know, so those are just some titles that are coming out that you may or may not be aware of, you know, things that aren't going to be on everybody's radar, but should be, or could be, or maybe if you're into that kind of stuff, there's some great stuff. Also, let me just say Revenge of the Ninja, May 28th, one of those fantastic ninja movies that Canon was spewing out. I think that's a Kino title, if I'm not mistaken. Sam Furstenberg, who's been, dude, they've been dropping a lot of Furstenberg movies over the last year, or the last 6 months anyway. American Ninjas, all of them, man. So if you're a Sam Furstenberg director, collector, make sure you get Revenge of the Ninja.
Yeah, because he got show in it, man.
Yeah, man.
This is the one where the guy gets his head cut off. And I was like, when I saw it in the theater, I'm like, oh, dude, that was rad. He chops down the middle, cuts his head in half, and then he goes across and cuts his head off of his neck. Yeah, I thought it was a great gag, too. It looked really good. You see those movies look terrible. You don't usually see them. It's like, but like an office building and running through cubicles.
I mean, there's some, I mean, what's great about those movies is they're super, super inventive for what they are.
Yep.
You know, they were crazy, dude. Like, they would just do fucking, I mean, I love those Canon films for that reason. Like, most of those, like Enter the Ninja, Return of the Ninja, Franco Nero. I mean, they're just so ridiculous, but ballsy, and they do create, they were doing crazy stuff. Another movie that I'm going to throw, I don't know if it's not coming out, but when I think of these Canon films, I'm always reminded of James Glickenhaus, The Soldier, starring Ken Wall, because I feel like it is a Canon film at heart. If it's not, it should have been. But again, lots of crazy, people must have been maimed and hurt during the filming of Soldier. There's some crazy stunts in it, like some super wild stuff, especially on skis, to rival any of those James Bond movies, in my opinion. But there you go. That's what's happening as far as Blu-ray releases in the coming weeks to come.
Warner Archives got two more titles coming out on Tuesday, and I just overlooked them. I just didn't see them because I wasn't zoomed in enough. But the Nun story with Audrey is coming out. And then also, I can't believe I missed this, because maybe it's because the classic movie poster cover that they threw on the cover of the Blu-ray, but Francis's movie, You're a Big Boy Now, from 66, is getting the Warner Archive Blu-ray release on Tuesday.
Yeah, dude, I think they're dropping every Francis title, you know, with the upcoming Megalopolis release pending.
With the always effervescent Geraldine Page, Rip Torn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid real movie. Life married couple.
I haven't seen this movie. Oh, dude. Whenever we're shown on TV at some point. So it's going to be weird to see this movie after decades, but also seeing it without commercials is going to be, it's going to be super bizarre.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever seen it on anything except other than television.
Yeah.
When broadcast. I was growing up.
This is one of those movies where, if you're ordering up a bunch of movies so you can show on your network, they probably just threw this one in.
Hey, man.
It's Francis before you got all serious, dude.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, you could also pick up The Rain People.
Dude.
Through Warner Archives as well.
Solid. Oh, yeah, dude.
May 7th. It was just released last week.
Damn.
Yep. Dropping them bit by bit.
It's hard to keep up on some of this shit sometimes.
Dude, I remember The Rain People VHS cover so well because it was a title, like, we had all those, there was all those weird movies like Rain People, Who'll Stop the Rain, all those like sort of 70s, but the box art was all like you know, very similar, but not similar. And it's, right. But like the color types, I just remember the box for that thing always like looking at me when I was in, I'd be putting things away in the video store and it would just sit there in the first row of the drama, you know, getting sun bleached by, cause it was right in the window that faced, you know, due west. And you'd get most of the sun in the store.
Was that the first time he worked with Jimmy?
Con?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was right before. That was right before Godfather.
Yeah. And Duvall also.
Yeah, I think that was right before Godfather.
Yeah. Dude, so wild. I haven't seen Rain People and fuck. I couldn't even tell you how long it's been.
I haven't seen it since I used to put it on the video store. That's, you know, it was something we used to put on all the time because we just, you know, it was like, it was Coppola and it was like, but it's a trippy movie. It's weird, you know, and it's Coppola and it's not The Godfather. And
it's a Warner archive release too, like you were saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they dropped it last week. I mean, I wonder if they're dropping, I guess.
Yeah. No, it was out last week.
And
it was,
I guess they're dropping, you know, leading up to the 17th, which will be here before we know it.
Asset that's running the company right now is trying to figure out ways to make the money.
Sure. How about distributing Megalopolis? How about that?
How about put out movies that you've already paid for to be made, idiot? Anyway, boom. So there was one addition to Vidiots. Well, there's a couple. They added Amazing Grace because I didn't see that last week.
Oh, I don't know that I saw it either.
Yeah.
We kind of screened through it real quick. Because we ran so long last week.
Yeah, so that's the Saturday, May 18th. But there was something else that got added. And I was like, whoa. Now, Dune wasn't there last week, was it?
Dune was there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just overlooked it. And there was one other thing. Oh, Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Okay, so Bedknobs and Broomsticks got added for Sunday the 19th. Now, the reason why this one's extra special is if you grew up in Los Angeles as a kid and you went on a field trip, you probably went and saw the Bob Baker, the Marionette Show, and it's their Nutcracker performance is legendary. So they're actually doing a Bob Baker puppet show pre-show before Bedknobs and Broomsticks on this Sunday, which I think is so fucking cool. I was like, this is another one of those ones I'm super bummed that I have to work on Sunday because I would totally be there. But if you're in town, whether you live here or not, and you got kids under five, you get a chance to let them see Bedknobs and Broomsticks on a big screen, which is just a mesmerizing cacophony of colors and visuals. Probably one of my favorite crossovers, just behind Mary Poppins, maybe between the live action and animated mashups they've done. You get to see a live marionette show, which is going to be the most entertaining thing those kids are ever going to see until they're old enough to go see a live band play, because it's fucking so... I saw it first when I was five, and it just always stuck with me because it's such a amazing thing. So you see the marionette, the puppeteers there, you see them doing their thing, but after a while, they just disappear and you don't see them anymore. And it's just such a fun thing. There's one point they were there, Bob Baker was hurting they weren't doing well because people weren't going to shows like that anymore. But this is all pre-pandemic. They were having difficulties. So I'm glad they've had a nice resurgence and Vidiots, once again, go on that extra mile and do something special that you just don't expect them to do. And putting Bob Baker in front of this is going to be fucking so cool. So there you go. May 19th at 12:30. But get there a little early because there's sometimes I'm wondering, like you experience with Blood In, Blood Out, there may be something else going on or maybe the times aren't exactly right. You don't want to get there too late. You also don't want to get there right on time because it'll kind of...
You want to get there early because there'll be a book signing or there'll be something crazy going on and you'll be like, God damn it. You know, and they'll be like, oh, we're just wrapping up. Go take your seat. And then you'll be like, son of a bitch, I just got here 15 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
So yeah, get there early, man. Don't be that guy that runs in at the last moment.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of Blood In, Blood Out, I've had the box sitting in the house for like the last 5 days, but I opened it up yesterday.
Book's sick, right?
Some lucky person out there is going to get one because we're going to give it away later on in the year. And there's a reason why we're waiting until later on in the year, but I'll explain that at another time. But
I'm going to say this real quick before we bail, just because we haven't talked about the American Cinematheque. But right now, May 10th through May 29th, they're running a Gary Oldman American Cinematheque retrospective, as they do. And dude, the movies in this movie are seriously ridiculous. Like, dude, they are screening Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Yeah, and when you sent me that, I was just like, fucking fuck off.
And I'm not going to be here to see it. I'm going to be gone. And I'm so like, of course they'd screen it when I'm not here. I've never seen this movie in a big on a big screen, ever. I don't ever remember anybody else ever. I don't remember it ever being screened anywhere over the last 30 years. And I'm so fucking bummed that I'm not going to be here to see it.
What they're putting together for the retrospect is so fucking awesome. Some of it's you would expect, some of it surprising. Like, the, just to start off with Mank is such a ballsy move.
Yeah, dude. Mank is the only Fincher film I've never seen on a big screen.
Oh, I would love to see this like that too. Because they did
screen it, but only once, I think, at the Egyptian, right before it went into, before they started the remodel. I think it did screen there once because I know that. I was told when I was talking to Sion, when I saw him at the Killer, that they were going to organize a screening, but I don't know that they ever did, because hardly anyone had seen it, but maybe this is it, or maybe this is, but it, yeah, dude, to see this on a big screen, good Lord. Maybe it played for a week or, it did play at the Egyptian, but only that one time. And that was before the pandemic. That was 2019, end of 2019.
Yeah. So they're doing The Darkest Hour 2 days later.
Yep.
But on the 14th, they're doing Slow Horses and Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. I find interesting about Slow Horses. It's a series.
Yeah.
So like, how are they going to do
the first episode?
First episode. Okay.
Yep.
I was curious.
And then they're going to go right into Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which is a fantastic version of that Le Carré novel.
When we already mentioned Dracula, but we didn't mention it in the confines of the retrospect itself. But for them to show Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead, and that's how they're closing it. That's the last.
Dude, it's fucking unbelievable.
I know.
Unbelievable.
And I'm like, man, if I wasn't, again, this is one of those ones where I said, sometimes there's going to a movie's going to come up and I'm going to like, all right, I got to rearrange my schedule. I'm going to go see this. Because this one's going to be at the LF3. It's a Wednesday, but I've already tied up and I can't get out of it, unfortunately. This movie is one of those movies that I just think that people may have heard of, may have come across in the middle of the night and just happened to watch it in the middle of it, which they probably got confused and then turned it off because they didn't know what the hell was going on. But I think that one, shit. Well, I mean, it was my first Tim Roth movie for anything. So then... to see him in Reservoir Dogs after that, I was like, whoa, it's that guy. I still didn't remember his name at that point. It's that guy.
I had been in the play. I played Hamlet in a live stage version of this probably 2 years before the movie came out because it's a Tom Stoppard play and he adapted it and directed it for the screen. But dude, holy shit, man. Yeah, I mean, it's 30 years ago. I think it was more than that because it came out in 91, maybe?
90.
90, yeah. So, God, it's almost 35 years ago. But yeah, it's Tim Roth. It's Oldman and Tim Roth. They look like kids. And Dreyfuss, dude. Dreyfuss is great in this movie.
Yeah.
This might be the last fucking amazing performance from Dreyfuss. Not that there aren't a few other ones, like maybe, I'm sure I'd have to look. But I mean, dude, he's so good in this. But dude, this is a movie I don't know. I mean, people who know, but everybody else is like, what the fuck is Rosencrantz and Guildenstern? And why do you keep going on about it? Because this is, if you went into my phone and you looked for my most used GIF,
right,
it is Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Right.
So bizarre, man. And also, they're also showing Bram Stoker's Dracula, which is also screening of Idiots this month. So there's two cracks at it. The Egyptian, this will be at the Egyptian.
And I hope this kind of gets discussed at some point during the retrospect. But 1990, they had a choice of what they could have done. They could have done State of Grace. They could have done Henry and June. They could have done... He did three fucking movies that are just balls out. Some of the most amazing and diverse things that he's done. Three movies that couldn't be more unlike each other. But yeah, this is when Gary Oldman was like unstoppable. That dude was just working and working. He's doing two or three movies a year without even thinking twice about it. And then he took a break. He did that little thing where he took a break because he did JFK. And then after that came swinging back with Bram Stoker's Dracula. So He definitely is somebody that did a whole bunch early on, and they realized he can kind of pump the brakes a little bit.
Well, he's in True Romance. I mean, he's in a ton of shit. Chattahoochee. I mean, there's so many movies. I could rattle off 10 more movies that people probably don't even know he's in.
Yeah.
From that time, you know, I mean, he was in fucking everything.
Yep. Romeo was bleeding.
Prick Up Your Ears.
Yep. Lots of shit, dude. Gary Oldman was, like I said, dude, there was a point people that are a little bit younger and only really recognize him more now for the Batman stuff. And if they went back into the archives, Leon the Professional. I hate to make a joke about that. I heard somebody say something like that at work, and I chuckled. I'm like, what about the other 30 movies did before that? Oh, never mind. So, yeah, I'm excited because, the Rosencrantz one, I would be there in a heartbeat if it wasn't a...
Yeah, man, yeah. It's on a Wednesday, and if I wasn't in New Jersey, I would totally go.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
Go next door, get some taco chumadre. Yeah, that'd have been nice. Oh, well.
Can't always get what you want.
I always look for reasons to go to LF3, and I'm like, this was a really good one, but if it was a Friday or Saturday, I'd be there.
So. What's crazy, dude, is the last movie I saw at LF3 was Romeo is Bleeding.
Oh, man. I forgot about that.
Yeah, totally. That was just a couple months ago. Yeah. So anyway, there you go. That's kind of the wrap.
Maybe.
Maybe that's the wrap for it.
Shit. All right, then. If you want to follow us on the socials, it's at Karate Pod on Twitter, Insta, and Letterboxd. You follow Corey on Letterboxd, it's Corey_Culp. Or if you want to follow me on the Insta, it's Culper97. If you want to support the show on Patreon and get that episodes early and get some other fun stuff coming up soon, you can do that at patreon.com/karatepod.
If you'd like to follow me, you can follow me at rockandroll33 at your Instagram, or you can follow me at Rosencrantz and Guildensterner Dead at Letterboxd, or you can follow me at The Real John Ladd at Blue Sky. That's The Real John Ladd at Blue Sky.
There you go.